I think I'm entitled.
You want answers.
I want the truth.
You can't handle the truth.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
Chair now recognizes himself for an opening statement. The fix is in. Even with the face-saving indictment last week of Hunter Biden, everyone knows the fix is in. 4.5 years. 4.5 years the Department of Justice has been investigating Mr. Biden, an investigation run by David Weiss, an investigation that limited the number of witnesses agents could interview. An investigation that prohibited agents from referring to the president as the, quote, big guy in any of the interviews they did get to do. An investigation that curtailed attempts to interview Mr. Biden by giving the transit team secret a heads up. An investigation that notified Mr. Biden's defense counsel about a pending search warrant. An investigation run by Mr. Weiss, where they told the Congress three different stories in 33 days.
Three different stories in 33 days. You are listening to Jim Jordan. He is the chair of the Judiciary Committee. The investigation underway, the open hearing in the Judiciary Committee on how the DOJ has been weaponized by the Biden White House. I will tell you right now, the only good solid response, if you're going to call it that, from AG Merrick Garland has been, I am not the president's lawyer. Although he didn't say it like that. He's not that demonstrative. Mealy mouth, probably, I'm not the president's lawyer, or something of that effect. We got a lot to dig into on this story. Thank you for joining us. Here we are, September 20 already, 2023. This is the first of 2 hours of Larry Connors USA, back-to-back right here for you. Reminding you, when we're on the air, we are also streaming at Larry Connors USA Facebook and Twitter, News Talk STL Facebook and Twitter, and, of course, on Rumble. You can find us anywhere. If you miss any of it now, you can always go to LarryConnorsUSA.com and you can pull up and hear or listen and watch at the same time to either what appeared on video and or audio. We're everywhere for you, making it easy for you. So there was Jim Jordan issuing his opening remarks. Now, as chairman, he's allowed to do that. And a couple times, a couple of Democrats wondered, we want to enter Joe Biden. He said, it's my time. Good. Then they later accused, well, you're asking questions going beyond the time. He said, I asked a question, he's going to answer. And that's how contentious it is already, because they know the heat is coming to bear upon the entire weaponization of the FBI, the DOJ, the IRS, and any other group or agency the Biden administration been willing to go after. So let's go back to Jim Jordan. Once he stated, look, you guys gave us three different stories over different days. Pick it up again.
They told this committee on June 7th, David Weiss said, I have ultimate authority to determine when, where, and whether to bring charges. 23 days later, June 30th, he told this committee, actually, I can only bring charges in my U.S. Attorney's District, the District of Delaware. And then to further confuse matters, on July 10th, he told Senator Graham, I have not sought special counsel status. Rather, I've had discussions with the Department of Justice. An investigation run by Mr. Weiss that negotiated a plea deal that the federal district court declined to accept. A plea deal so ridiculous, the judge asked this question. Quote, is there any precedence for agreeing not to prosecute crimes that have nothing to do with the charges being diverted? The response from the DOJ lawyer, I'm not aware of any, Your Honor. A plea deal so ridiculous that the judge also asked, have you ever seen a diversion agreement where the agreement not to prosecute was so broad that it encompasses crimes in a different case? The response from the DOJ lawyer, no, Your Honor, we haven't.
In other words, everything about it, the judge said, basically, well, what the hell are you doing here? It was such a sweetheart deal. The only thing missing for Hunter to get to the judge and his attorneys and the DOJ working with him, give her some flowers and some candy. That was the only part of the sweetheart deal they didn't accomplish. Now, another member of the council had questions as well on how some of these things came to be. Mike Johnson is one of the members of the House committee. I want you to hear from him in a moment. But again, back before that, this earlier deal, as Jordan was pointing out to us, there were so many things around it that everyone, even those who presenting it, had to almost cover their eyes and act like, I'm not part of this.
But according to the New York Times, there was an even sweeter deal, an earlier deal, a deal in which Mr. Biden would not have to plead guilty to anything. 4.5 years and all that, and now we get a special counsel. Now we get a special counsel, and who does the attorney general pick? David Weiss, the guy who let all that happen. He could have selected anyone. He could have picked anyone inside government, outside government. He could have picked former attorney generals, former special counsels, but he picks the one guy he knows will protect Joe Biden. He picks David Weiss.
Perfect selection. Now, A.G. Merrick Garland was quick to point out, hey, Donald Trump appointed him originally. That is true. But then, of course, that's when Trump and when Weiss was expected to be doing his job, not persecuting, and then defending Joe Biden from investigations. And he's kept on, of course, by the president. That would be Biden allowing him to stay. And who knows what kind of transaction took place to say, you could keep your J-O-B, but you do know now you got a new sheriff in town, and I'm going to tell you what to be doing. That could be Merrick Garland making that statement and or the Biden himself. I know what many of you are thinking. We cannot have compromised our justice system so much, Larry. Are you really overboard a little bit? You could say I'm overboard because I'm in deep water because there are sharks going around, and every one of them has an A.G. Merrick Garland stamp on them, a Biden White House stamp on the tail. They are definitely in the water because they have set this up, and they were going to protect and cover all of it, and they would have, except for the House being controlled by Republicans. Keep in mind, if the Republicans had not won control of the House, none of this would be coming open. None of it. To give you an example, as I mentioned, Louisiana Congressman Mike Johnson. Once you listen to the question he raises, Garland, and then the mealy-mouthed response you get from the Attorney General.
Let me just get right to the chase. Has anyone from the White House provided direction at any time to you personally or to any senior officials at the DOJ regarding how the Hunter Biden investigation was to be carried out?
No.
Have you had personal contact with anyone at FBI headquarters about the Hunter Biden investigation?
I don't recollect the answer to that question, but the FBI works for the Justice Department. I'm sorry.
You don't recollect whether you've talked with anybody at FBI headquarters about an investigation of the president's son?
I don't believe I did.
You don't recollect? Is that like a man caught? Whoops. Yep. And he has to be careful because perjury charges are serious. So the best thing is, I don't recollect. I don't remember. I don't recall. They can't pin you down if you just say, I can't remember. And he is the attorney general. He knows how to get around those. Well, of course, the whole issue, we got down to some of the IRS charges and even the gun charge. The idea was to let the statute of limitations run out, and then there is no case. And to that extent, Congressman Jordan, again, to Merrick Garland, you guys were slow walking.
And here's what the AG said in his August 11th announcement of David Weiss as a special counsel. Quote, I am confident that Mr. Weiss will carry out his responsibility in an even-handed and urgent manner. Urgent manner, every witness we've talked to, the two FBI whistleblowers that came forward, Mr. Shapley, Mr. Ziegler, the two FBI agents on the case, Mr. Sobosinski, Ms. Holly, they've all said this thing was anything but urgent. The FBI said this was, they were frustrated at the pace. Ms. Holly said she was frustrated at the pace. And of course, the IRS agents, they said the investigation was slow walked and even handed. They limited the number of witnesses that could be interviewed. They tipped off the defense counsel about a subpoena. The judge says the plea deal was a joke. And all that's just half the story. There's one investigation protecting President Biden. There's another one attacking President Trump. Justice Department's got both sides of the equation covered.
That they do. Again, Jim Jordan, and a question to Garland focusing on what you guys were or were not doing.
And what I'm wondering is why you guys let the statute of limitations lapse for those tax years that dealt with Burisma income.
There's one more fact that's important, and that is that this investigation was being conducted by Mr. Weiss, an appointee of President Trump. You will, at the appropriate time, have the opportunity to ask Mr. Weiss that question, and he will no doubt address it in the public report that will be transmitted to the Congress. I don't know the answer to those questions.
Did they forget? Did the lawyers just like let it, did they just like, oh, darn, we let it, were they careless?
I expect that won't be what he says, but because I promise.
You know that's not the case, because as Mr. Bishop pointed out, they had a tolling agreement. They talked to Hunter Biden's defense counsel and say, let's extend the statute of limitations. And then at some point, they made an intentional decision to say, we're going to let the statute of limitations lapse. And I want to know who decided that and why they did it.
Now, that's a very good question. But you know what? I love how Jim Jordan followed up on that very question he raised.
Everyone knows why they did it. May not say it, but everyone knows why they did it. They didn't, Burisma, those tax years, that dealt with the, that involved the president. It's one thing to have a gun charge in Delaware. That doesn't involve the president of the United States. But Burisma, oh my, that goes right to the White House. We can't have that. And we can slow walk this thing along. We can even extend the statute of limitations, and then we can intentionally let it lapse. And we know this investigation was slow. Here's what everyone said. Shapley said, DOJ slow walked the investigation. Ziegler, slow walking in the approvals of everything. This happened at the Delaware's attorney's office and DOJ tax level. Mr. Sobosinski, the FBI agent, said, I would have liked to see things move faster. Ms. Holly said the same. Every witness we've talked to said this thing was slow walked, and we know why. They slow walked it long enough to let the statute of limitations run so they wouldn't have to get into Burisma.
It just happened to play out that way, Congressman Jordan. Really? Of course it didn't. Listen, the Attorney General can answer with no answer on everything. But there's one part of the Hunter Biden investigation which says everything.
Why has the Justice Department this investigation out for so long? Does it really take years to determine if Hunter Biden lied on a federal form related to purchasing a firearm?
Mr. Weiss was a long-time career prosecutor. President Trump appointed him as...
You're not answering the question. Is that standard procedure? Should it take that long to make such a simple determination?
I'm answering the question. Mm-hmm. Give me an opportunity to do so.
Okay.
He was charged with that investigation under the previous administration. He's continued. He knows how to conduct investigations, and I have not intruded or attempted to evaluate that because that was the promise I made to the Senate.
The whistleblowers gave us testimony about serious misconduct of the Justice Department in regards to the preferential treatment afforded Hunter Biden. Has your office requested an investigation into that?
There are well-known processes for how whistleblowers make their claims. I am a strong proponent of whistleblowers and a strong defender. We have an Inspector General's office. We have an Office of Professional Responsibility. That is the way in which complaints from whistleblowers should be and are appropriately handled.
So did you get any answer out of that? The answer is not just no, but hell no. Again, mealy mouth going around and around in circles. Of course, Congressman James Comer on the House Oversight Committee has been actively involving all the financial issues revolving around the Hunter Biden and Joe Biden and the entire family. And he said, we're ready to start moving forward subpoenas.
We found wires from five different countries, from China to Romania to Ukraine to Russia to Uzbekistan, to the shell companies that were then dispersed to nine different Biden family members. Now we've taken the two leading Biden family members who received the most disbursements from this laundered money from foreign nationals, and that would be Hunter Biden and Jim Biden, and we are now subpoenaing their bank records. So we're following the money. Once we get those bank records and review those bank records, we will continue to follow the money. If that leads to Joe Biden or to Hunter Biden or to Jim Biden, then we will bring them in and subpoena them.
And there's a possibility what they've uncovered so far, documented $20 million, it could be closer to $50 million. And Comer says we got nine Biden family members locked into this.
The granddaughter didn't do anything to earn the money. The ex-wives didn't do anything to earn the money. The girlfriend didn't do anything to earn the money. So what happened? What transpired to earn the money? That's what every American should be concerned about. That's why we are entering impeachment inquiry. We need all the tools necessary to get all the information because we followed the money and it's bad. The Bidens have received millions and millions of dollars from our enemies around the world, and no one can answer one simple question. What did they do to receive the money? We believe that this was a very organized crime ring, because the way the money was dispersed, the creation of all the LLCs and all the shell companies, and the way the money was dispersed to the various Biden family members, this was very organized. But what we've learned from our testimony, from our transcribed interviews, from also from the emails and from the WhatsApp messages, that Joe Biden was very involved in this. He knew what the family was doing. He communicated with every single person that wired this money to the Bidens, even though he said during the campaign he knew nothing about it and never communicated with them.
And you know, to that extent, if you're looking for a RICO investigation, as they did in Georgia against Trump, there it is, right in your face, right in your face. That's a RICO investigation. Jim Jordan again says what we're dealing with here is uneven justice.
There's one investigation protecting President Biden. There's another one attacking President Trump. Justice Department's got both sides of the equation covered. Look at the classified documents case. Spring and early summer of last year, the Department of Justice asked President Trump to turn over boxes of documents. He does just that. In the process, President Trump finds 38 additional documents. He tells the Department of Justice, the very next day the FBI comes to his home and he turns them over. Then the Department of Justice asked the president to put any boxes he brought from the White House to his home in a storage room and secure it by locking it. He does that as well. Everything they asked him to do, he did. And then what's the Justice Department do? August 8th, last year, they raid President Trump's home. And according to the FBI agent, Stephen D'Antuono, the assistant director in charge of the Washington field office, the search was a complete departure from standard protocol.
But standard protocol now is do whatever the hell you want if it's to get Trump. Coming up before we end this hour, we're going to update the UAW strike and how Shark Tank's Kevin O'Leary says one UAW demand could destroy the nation. Plus, Biden now pushing to regulate your home appliances. And coming up next, the Biden administration paying ransom to Iran, jeopardizing every American. Lock and load. Ready on the right. I want to share something special with you. I've told you how Wellington Environmental works to keep hospitals, schools, businesses safe for their patients, students, clients, employees. Wellington can do the same for you. Perfect example. A relative went to the basement, almost knocked over by the smell. A sewer line had broken. A call to Wellington, a crew was dispatched. First thing, make the home safe. Then clean up the mess. Truly clean it up. Now, I'm telling you this because I want the best for you. Wellington Environmental. Here's the number, 314-644-4930. 644-4930. AAA rating with the Better Business Bureau. 644-4930. Wellington Environmental. Your world. Cleaner, better, safer. Be well with Wellington. I really, really enjoy a great cigar and a premium whiskey. And if you do, you should join me at Lit Cigar Lounge in the district off Highway 40 in Chesterfield. Lit is open to everyone, but I decided to become a member. You can too. Get special gifts, special events. Ladies, don't be intimidated. Bring a group of girlfriends. You'll also enjoy Lit Cigar Lounge. Lit also has a cigar and tobacco shop on Main Street in Old St. Charles. LitSTL.com. LitSTL.com.
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA.
Welcome back. My guest we've had on numerous times before, always an expert in his knowledge. He has something like 25, 30 plus years as a former CIA analyst, and of course adding all kinds of information to the National Security Council as well during the Donald Trump administration. Fred Flights, vice chair of the American First Policy Institute Center for American Security. Fred, welcome aboard again, sir.
Hey, Larry, good to be here.
Well, I want to get into the subject right away, and that is when Joe Biden decided to send $6 billion, let me correct that, unfree $6 billion that was being held from Iran, and then we get five hostages, and we give them five that they wanted. How do you not say that's a ransom deal?
That's a good question. I was watching CNN early yesterday. Forgive me for that, but you have to know what the enemy is doing. They try to champion Biden for unfreezing Iranian funds to win the freedom of five innocent Americans. And the Biden administration is very angry that people are calling this a ransom payment to release American hostages. But these Americans were released because Iran got a payment. It doesn't matter where the money came from. The money was being sanctioned because of their actions to promote nuclear weapons and terrorism. And it's interesting that in 2016, when we gave Iran $1.7 billion to win the release of five innocent Americans, the Obama administration said, well, this isn't ransom because this is a debt that the U.S. owed Iran. And Stephen Colbert said on the air to a Biden official, the reason the American people are calling this ransom is because they know what the word ransom means.
Very clear. And on top of that, when Obama was saying that, he was saying, well, we were going to have to give it to them anyway. We're going to lose a court battle in the world court. And we were holding that money because they had taken our Americans hostage and our embassy. And I'd say, let them fight it out in the world court. If they win it, they win it. But you don't just turn it over.
We could have ignored that judgment assuming that happened because Iran owed us at least $30 billion in damages, many of them for the Americans who they had taken hostage at the U.S. Embassy when they seized it. Was that in 1979 or 1980? I mean, there's all kinds of lawsuits against Iran that Iran hasn't paid. So this much smaller judgment that we might have lost, I think we could have said, okay, well, we lost that one, but you still owe us $28 billion, $29 billion.
As you go through and you mentioned the CNN coverage, and I'm like you, I tell the audience, I watch them because you don't have to, and I take care of you that way, because you got to know the enemy. You're right. Keep your friends close, your enemies closer. Always believe in that. And now the response from the National Review versus what you told me CNN, and CNN did, they write, through lies, deception, secrecy, the administration will get away with rewarding a hostile regime.
Yeah, that's exactly right. But, you know, I have to give the Washington Post credit because it ran an editorial yesterday that talked about the troubling precedent of paying ransom to Iran. And the Post noticed that this is at least the third time, they didn't say a Democratic president, but a U.S. Administration has done this. Obama did it twice. He also paid $500,000 in so-called bail that was provided from the government of Iran to free three American hikers who had wandered into Iranian territory. And that administration argued, hey, it's not our money. The Iranians provided it.
See, I think they keep going around that. That's what we heard the other day from the White House when this originally was announced. It's not taxpayers' dollars. You're not paying for it. But if we have $6 billion from Iran frozen, and they say, well, they're only going to use it for humanitarian uses. Iran has automatically said after they got it released, we'll do what the hell we want with it.
And even if they didn't say that, money is fungible.
Yes.
And adding this money to the Iranian treasury is bad news. It's going to result in Iran having more money that it can spend for nefarious purposes, nuclear program, missiles, meddling in neighboring states, et cetera.
Well, of course, when Obama sent that plane load over that overnight, and it was in, they had already been told it'd be small denominations and in various currencies, so it makes it easy to spread throughout the Middle East.
That's right. I believe it was in euros and in Swiss francs, and it was in small denominations. And in January 2016, the Obama administration had a ceremony to celebrate the new nuclear deal and the release of five hostages. But we didn't find out until 6 months later in a Wall Street Journal report that while that ceremony was taking place, an American plane secretly flew what President Trump's called bales of cash to Iran to win the release of those American hostages.
Now, you know, on top of that, since you brought up the nuclear deal, we, of course, pulled out under Trump in 2018. Now the Iranian president was talking in front of the UN yesterday and say, if you, the U.S., want us to join you in nuclear talks again, you, quote, must demonstrate in a verifiable fashion you'll return to what we did have, 2015 nuclear deal.
Yeah, I saw that the Iranian president said that. He didn't mention the vast increase in their nuclear program since then, especially since Obama became president. And in that same speech, he threatened Americans again. He said there will be revenge against every American involved in the killing of Qasem Soleimani, which means John Bolton and other senior officials who have Secret Service protection, they're going to have to keep it because Iranian agents are after them.
But he also said, his statement, I'll read his statement, nuclear weapons have no place in our defensive doctrine and the military doctrine.
Well, it's patently false. There's so much evidence of the various avenues Iran has been pursuing in secret to develop nuclear weapons, to develop nuclear fuel, to develop warheads. They put billions and billions of dollars into doing this. And he just goes up to the UN General Assembly and he just outright lied.
Well, and of course, we don't really know what's going on there because the UN has already said, as of Monday, Iran had made it clear, the UN said Iran has removed a significant number of cameras and other monitoring systems, and at this time, they have enough material for several bombs.
I think they probably have enough material for 10 to 15 weapons if they enriched all the uranium. But can I talk about the Israeli ambassador real quick?
Yes, sir. By all means, I'll go in that direction.
You see what happened? Well, the Iranian president was making this outrageous statement and threatening Israel, threatening to assassinate American officials. The Israeli ambassador to the UN stood up and held up a picture of Mahsa Amini, who was the young woman who was killed for not wearing a hijab properly about a year ago. And then the UN police arrested him. They detained him. They took him out. There was two of them leading him out of the chamber through the hallways of the UN. I didn't know that the UN police could arrest UN ambassadors. Do you remember when Yasser Arafat went to the podium of the UN in 1974 with a gun?
Yes.
He wasn't arrested.
No. I mean, I was going to bring that up at the end. I'm glad you did now, though. Let's focus on some more. You don't, in this nation, we have freedom of speech, period. I don't care where it is, it's freedom of speech. Are they trying to say UN rules overrule your U.S. Constitution when you're located in our nation? What is your thought on that first?
Well, the UN is sovereign territory, and they can do that.
Right.
But, this is a UN ambassador who held up a sign and walked out. Ambassadors walk out all the time. But the fact that they detained him for doing something that was peaceful, the UN rules are supposedly fairly close to the standard rules of free speech, at least they are right now, in the United States and in most Western nations. But the fact, this seemed to be the so-called UN police, the UN guards, detaining the Israeli ambassador because he embarrassed the Iranian ambassador.
That was my point. Simply because they embarrassed Iran.
I mean, that's the way it looked, and you can just imagine if the shoe was on the other foot.
Oh, yeah.
If an Iranian ambassador had done that, or if a Chinese or Russian ambassador, it's because it's the Israelis, and the Israelis have always been treated badly in the United Nations.
Well, again, I do know, and as you pointed out again, the UN is sovereign territory, but as they have exercised up to this point, pretty much a free speech, because we've had world leaders get up there and basically declare war without saying it in those exact words. And as you said just yesterday, again, direct threats against Israel.
It's just another black eye on the UN. And let's add to the fact this is one of the most irrelevant UN sessions in history, because four of the five permanent members of the Security Council did not send their head to state. And that is maybe the first time that ever happened.
And then what about Biden showing up? What really came out of that other than a little bit of this blah, 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 and green deals, blah, blah, blah?
I thought it was a very weak speech. He didn't say anything significant. There were some inaudible remarks.
Yeah, well,
it was incredibly underwhelming for the leader of the free world to get up there and just demonstrate that, you know, he's just suffering from serious mental decline, unfortunately. And, you know, he's again said climate change is the biggest threat facing this nation. There were very brief references to Iran and North Korea. Those are the issues he should have talked about, and the threat from China, the threat from Russia. What he said was basically gibberish.
I like your phrasing. It was gibberish. And the other point being, this is in right in front of the world leaders, representatives of all the nations, supposedly. And I give him an F and then below. You?
That's right. There's not going to be any summit with the British prime minister or the French president or the Russian or Chinese leaders. But, Larry, there will be a summit with the Stans, the Central Asian countries.
Yeah.
He's going to have a Stan summit.
Yeah, because that's so important right now. God almighty.
Well, also, the fact these nations aren't coming is that they don't want to see him. They don't want to meet with him. They don't see the point. His policies aren't serious. The poor man is suffering from mental decline. So the French president said, oh, I can't come because King Charles is visiting the country.
Yeah, look for your excuse. Fred Flights, as always, we thank you for your time, sir.
Good to be here.
You bet. Coming up more on the UAW, it's right. Hot enough for you? Tired of hearing that question? It's certainly hot enough to damage your lawn and plants. Allen Outdoor Solutions can put in an irrigation system, save your landscaping, and save you from having to drag hoses in this heat. I've known Steve Allen for years. That's why I put my name with Allen Outdoor Solutions. Call 314-647-4800. 647-4800. Check the website, see everything Steve can do for you. AllenOutdoorSTL.com. You can spend a lot of restless nights trying to figure out how you're going to make all those credit card payments. Why not consolidate all your debt into one manageable payment? My friends at Homestead Financial Mortgage can help with a cash-out refinance. Contact them today. Take the first step in regaining your financial freedom. Use my website, Larry.HomesteadFinancial.com. Take charge of your financial future. Go to my website, Larry.HomesteadFinancial.com. This time of year, heavy rains, high winds, they can hit. And if you have any loose shingles, even the smallest hole in your roof, you're taking a major gamble with your biggest investment. I can tell you from personal experience, do not wait until you have water where it shouldn't be. Don't forget that John Beal has disaster crews, which can at least cover your roof until the damage can be fully repaired. Homeowner, business owner, call John Beal. 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA. when we get things like this from the company, and they want to sit there and talk about they're not asking for concessions or looking for concessions, everything they're looking for in this document is about concessions. So I'll tell you what I'm going to do with their proposal. I'm going to file it in its proper place, because that's where it belongs, the trash.
The trash. That is the UAW president, and he did not like, and that was from the other day on the first response, when the union was pushing at that time for a 40% wage increase, 40%. And Chrysler came back, said 21%. And he said that when we get this kind of stuff, we're going to just file it in the trash, throw it in the trash. Well, of course, you have political rhetoric in play all the time, especially when you start getting into unions and the disputes and arguments back and forth. Now, Joe Biden apparently is making, well, not him, but some Democrats already have been on the line with the UAW workers. Biden is indicating he's going to be joining them at some point. He's also said the car makers, you know, don't quite say they're making so much money. They're not getting that rich. He's trying to basically play both sides, but he needs votes, and the leaders of the UAW, they don't amount to all the votes of the rank and file, so he's got to figure out, where am I going to get the best bang for the buck? And in this case, he's claiming that, well, let's try to work it out, guys, you know. That's all we need to do. The United Auto Workers are not stupid. They're realizing Biden is basically saying, we want you to have jobs, good-paying jobs, earn more. Well, let's see what we can do to help you reach. And at the same time, he's already plotting to end their jobs, to get rid of all of the gas vehicles. And there is, again, where we come down to the issue of what this administration is doing to our country by such green pie-in-the-sky ideas. Let me give you the viewpoint, let you hear from Steve Forbes of Forbes Media.
Well, the fact of the matter is they can't go all EV. The technology's not there. Ripping up the earth to get the minerals to do it is not there. The grid can't handle it. So it's a fantasy, but it's a destructive fantasy. And the fact of the matter is, Musk has shown with Tesla, he can make a good car, a better designed car, better than Detroit can. And so they're going to bankrupt Detroit. Already Detroit's become a virtual ward of the government, having to do things they normally wouldn't do. The normal market for EVs would be about 10 or 15%, nowhere near 100%. So if they go through any kind of a big increase on the contract, they're going to destroy the industry. They're going to have to bail it out again.
Well, that's exactly what we need, right? We need to bail out the auto industry again. Not because of a disease that shut down production, not because of supply chain or anything, but because the Biden administration has decided stop making gas vehicles. Put all your effort into all of the EVs we want you to have. A question came to Steve Forbes from a Fox News anchor, and his answer that Forbes gives is right on point.
You have the auto companies actually not pushing back and fighting back on these EV mandates. Ford alone lost $4.5 billion, and they're not going, you know, time out, Mr. President. We want to go a different direction. They just kind of take it lying down.
Well, it's like going against Tony Soprano in terms of when Uncle Sam, who his life he holds in your hand, says we got to go in a direction. And certainly a lot of the media, everyone, a lot of people out there say this is the way to go. They haven't done a real environmental impact statement of what would happen to the environment if you went all alternative fuels.
No, they haven't. And at the same time, we pointed out to you yesterday, the push for wind turbines out in the ocean are probably responsible for killing many whales. And where is Greenpeace? Well, Greenpeace is also getting some money from the government for some of their other projects. So they're looking the other way. The government has its own agency that supposedly is overlooking and investigating the deaths of these whales, almost 40 unknown, suddenly washing up on the beaches on the eastern coast because these turbines, wind turbines, are put in. First of all, mapping to where to put the turbine, the mapping the sea floor causes enormous noise and vibrations that might disturb the whales. Their sense of direction maybe cause anxiety. And then when the turbines are running, that's also added. But this government panel that involves non-government employees, supposedly, it just happens to have members on the panel that are also tied to the wind turbine industry. What kind of answer do you think you're going to get? And you heard Steve Forbes of Forbes Media and Forbes Fortune obviously pointing out that they haven't really done any study. They don't really care about a study if they could just push it through. When they do, it's better come out with the numbers they want or it's useless. And it's trashed. Right now, Joe Biden, despite he got stopped by Congress, Joe Biden announcing today that they are going to have an American Climate Corps. It's going to be a major green jobs training program. They're going to employ something like 20,000 who will build trails, plant trees, install solar panels, do other work to boost conservation, and help prevent catastrophic wildfires. Look, I want to prevent the wildfires too. Well, all it comes down to is the states that have those large untended brush in their area, clean it up. They could do that, but now we're going to enhance this Americans Climate Corps. It's been proposed in earlier versions of the sweeping climate law that got approved last year, but then it got jettisoned. Republicans said, look at the cost of this thing. And Democrats and environmental and advocacy groups say we're never going to give up on the planet, and obviously they're not. They're modeling it after the Civilian Conservation Corps created in the 1930s by FDR as part of the New Deal. But we're going to see these guys push this through, and if they have control of the Senate, as they do now. But beyond that, Biden is just saying, to hell with you. I'll just use executive authority and put it in place. And when it comes to forcing folks to buy electric vehicles, most surveys show that 50 to 60% of adults say, I don't want one of those. I don't want it for whatever reason. And then you've got Kevin O'Leary. You know him from Shark Tank. He's also head of a big investment group, O'Leary Investments. And he said, why push the public like this?
You know, whether it's Biden or somebody else that says that we should have a top-down mandate of a product like electric vehicles, that's not how the market works. The market has to be let alone and be the market. If people want to buy EVs, they'll buy them, and the automotive manufacturing infrastructure will make them. You can't mandate this from the top. This isn't going to work. It's going to cause chaos in the infrastructure of our automotive sector. And it's not really a political issue anymore. It's a policy issue. This can't go on. This is very bad at a point where we're trying to negotiate labor and at the same time saying, look, we're going to mandate EVs when maybe the market doesn't want them. Let the market be the market.
Let the market be the market. The mandate sounds like you are living in China. You are pretty close to being there, my friend, with the way Biden is running the operations. And I don't know how much hand in glove he is with China. But his tactics are similar, are they not? And O'Leary is saying, look, this is so destructive. When you're telling the public you cannot have that, you must take this. You must have this. He also says the United Auto Workers are out of line. Not in exactly those words, but that's the sentiment. He says they're just not realizing what they're doing. Now, that statement might irritate union workers listening right now. But he says there is one thing right now the United Auto Workers is pushing, which could and would destroy America.
You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
Wow, that was my reaction when I walked into Napoli C, now open on the streets of St. Charles, right next door to Napoli 3. And Napoli C is like walking into a two-level submarine. Fish just outside the portholes. The menu is going to be filled with various seafood, lobster, crab. Good luck with choosing. Napoli C is now open on the streets of St. Charles. Join me at any Cafe Napoli. Clayton, Town and Country, Napoli 3 and St. Charles are right next door, Napoli C.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
Here's the deal. General Motors offered 7.5% increase. That's not going to fly. Everybody knows that. The likely outcome is a 20 to 25% wage increase. Very inflationary. But here's the killer on this deal. The union wants a reduction in the work week down to 32 to 34 hours. We cannot do that to America. We would be so unproductive, so uncompetitive in this sector. We would get slaughtered by our competitors if we did that. If you actually reduce the work week to 32 to 34 hours, you're talking about 50, 60% increase in costs. The industry can't do it. It will go bankrupt yet again.
Yeah,
so I don't know how this is going to play out, but somebody's got to understand these are no can do deals.
Now, when a union goes in and is pushing for what it wants, it always shoots over the moon. And when the companies come in, they always shoot under the ground. The whole idea is get as far apart and then gradually make room closer until finally one says, this is my last and final deal offer. And then we see if they really hit the bricks, or if the company folds. Everybody would love to have a shorter work week. The UAW is pushing, we want this 32, 34-hour week, but we want to be paid like we're working 40 hours and at the new rate. But that's Christmas gift all day, right? I'm not knocking them for wanting it and trying to get it. But Kevin O'Leary, I respect as one, an intelligent investment guru, and he says, this is a no-can-do deal for what it would do to America, what it would do to us in our production levels compared to other countries who are working, you know, anywhere from 16 to 18 hours a day. You complain, we put you aside, or we put you under. And if we can't get our people to do it, we'll bring slaves in. Like China's doing, Uyghur Muslims, we would just turn them into slaves for us. We'll get the job done on all the hours, 24 hours around. Many of you, I'm sure, have been in Vegas. When you're in Vegas, I remember when they were constructing the Paris Hotel, right across the Bellagio. It is 3:30 in the morning. It's cool. It's better than 3:30 in the afternoon. They were working then too, but at 3:30 in the morning, they're still out there building and erecting the Eiffel Tower they put in front of the Paris Hotel and everything else. They are working 24-hour shifts because the faster they get it built, the faster they can open it to the public, start making money. That's a decision by the company. And they have probably at least three different shifts of union workers. I don't know how they're doing it exactly as far as the pay and the breakout, but they're working all the way around, and other countries are doing that on a constant basis as well. It'd be nice to sit back and sit in your rocking chair all day long, but while you're doing that, someone else is ramping up to come after you. Now, speaking about EV, energy, everything else that they're trying to push, recently Biden tried to push through a top advisor to Energy Secretary Granholm to give this guy a senior role overseeing your home appliance regulations. Well, it got canceled because committee chair Joe Manchin, Democrat West Virginia, opposed him because the administration is cracking down on natural gas-powered stovetops, which would be one of this guy's jobs. So they said, no, we're not going to let you become the top advisor to Energy Secretary Jennifer Granholm. That has to be cleared by confirmation of the Senate. What's Biden doing? They found another way to get him in. What they're now doing is instead of nominating him or someone for that position, they're going to take the same guy and appoint him to Principal Deputy Assistant Secretary of the agency's office. Far below Senate confirmation concerns. But he is going to be on the job, and his job is to get rid of your gas stoves, your gas water heater, anything else you've got in your house that runs on gas. Didn't Kevin O'Leary state it correctly? Let the market decide. There are people that love gas ranges for cooking even and everything of that nature and gas water heaters. There are others that I'm all about electric. That's fine. The market decides. Not under this administration. And, of course, don't forget the other bad deals that Biden has come up with, nominees and so forth. Remember Sam Brenton, the former senior Department of Energy official? How the hell did he got that clearance? I'll never know. He never should have, because that gives this guy clearance to high information regarding our Department of Energy and defense and everything else with it. This is the same one, calls himself non-binary, on a taxpayer-funded business trip when he was stealing luggage. Remember that? Sam Brenton, he traveled July 2022 to Nevada National Security Site near Las Vegas. And while there, along the way, he decided to steal some luggage. He later got charged with it months later, and then they found out he had also stolen from another case. And now he's obviously out of the government. That's the only good thing about it. But we still have a lot of nutheads that have been put in place access to our classified information by the Biden administration. Joe Biden has no one, knows nothing about the guy, I'm sure of that. But people below him do, and they were giving him clearances. Well, we got a lot of issues in this White House. Coming up in the next hour, we're also going to take a closer look again about how the Biden open border is destroying the nation. Remember our pledge, one nation under God.